Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, this conversation might hit close to home for many South African women like myself who grew up using hair care products to either relax or treat their hair through the different phases of their life. And what we understand is that Dark and Lovely has implemented a product recall as there's a concern that's been raised around neutralizing shampoo within the three Dark and Lovely Moisture Plus kits. The relaxer kits has been detected to have bacteria. To help us understand more about this product recall, we join on the line by Ms. Tezi Mabuza, who is the National Consumer Commission's Deputy Commissioner. Such a pleasure to speak to you, Deputy Commissioner, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Good evening.
It's such a delight to touch base with you, and we really appreciate the efforts that the National Consumer Commission plays in educating us as South Africans. But add more color and context to the story, the recall on Dark and Lovely Relaxer Kits. Help us understand why.
In terms of certain products, especially those that have been specified, your hair products and food, we normally have standards by the Department of Health wherein suppliers have to keep samples and they have to test their products regularly. Mm-hmm. And then that would mean that it ensures that the product in terms of its entire shelf life remains safe either for use or for consumption. But in this case, when they did their regular test, they realized that neutralizing shampoo developed bacteria. We don't know what was the cause, but as for now, what we know that it has bacteria, it developed over time, and that is where we are. So it's just that recall for those batches that were used, that were part of the relaxer kit that was used. So it's a 50 ml, but then consumers are requested to really return the product. But we did really touch base with L'Oreal to check, because we know that it's not only that single use. We also have neutralizing shampoos in other bigger containers. So we wanted to know if those are not affected, but then we'll keep consumers informed if really we have to spread the recall to other measurements as well.
Got you. So that's still being tested and evaluated at the moment on neutralizing shampoos of a bigger size, if I understand you correctly.
Yes. Of similar kind to the neutralizing shampoo.
Perfect. And maybe help us contextualize the batch that might be impacted here and how typically these products would have been distributed.
What we are looking at, the batches themselves that have been distributed, let me just go back to the batch itself. I will come back to the batch numbers, but then they have been now, some of them have been distributed to our neighboring countries, your Zimbabwe, Zambia, Namibia, I would say mostly around the SADC countries. And the batches that we are talking about, I will come back to you directly with the batch numbers so that we really understand, because sometimes we know that when we are talking about product recalls, is that one has to understand really in essence which batch number are we talking about, because it's not everything. I'll come back to you with your batch number just at a later stage. I'm just searching for the batch numbers right now so that it's clearer to the consumers. So we can go on to other questions and then I'll provide that at a later stage.
100%. I'm glad that you mentioned the batch numbers and happy for you to look through them as soon as they are available. But you mentioned something so critical, is that these products have already been out into the market. As far as I understand, typically these would have been a batch that would have been produced in April of 2023. And of course, as you mentioned, distributed to our neighboring countries as well. Do we have a similar track and trace system within our neighboring countries to actually identify the products that might have been impacted?
What happens is that as regulators, we normally share information with some of our consumer protectors. We might not be having similar protocols, but through what we call consumer protection within SADC itself, we share that information. If they would have a batch that they know that either comes from South Africa, or maybe they have a recall wherein they know from their side as well that the product was distributed in South Africa, they will let us know. Similar as well, we will also have what we call a rapid alert system from some of us, especially wherein we are within the consumer protection network, wherein as other regulators, even as far as Europe in the entire continent, we will share some of the information within the rapid system that we have within the OECD countries and also amongst ourselves. When we know that something is being recalled in South Africa, and then the supplier, because it's the duty of the supplier to inform us as regulators as to how far did they distribute, what was the dates and so forth, then it's also our responsibility as a country that is manufacturing that product to also make sure that the other regulators in those receiving countries, they actually extend consumer protection to their consumers as well.
And for consumers who might have this product or are not certain, how do we go about the process of, taking these back to the retail stores that we purchased them from?
When we talk about a product recall, We are not stringent in terms of making sure that a consumer has a receipt in terms of proof of purchase and all that. And sometimes if maybe you know that you purchased that product, let's say using your credit card because it was last year, you might have forgotten, you still have it in the cupboard, but then the receipt itself, because it fades, you are not in possession of that receipt. So it is the responsibility of the manufacturer still to receive that product irrespective of whether a consumer has a receipt or not. So any consumer that would have the product, even if you are not certain about the batch numbers, as we are talking right now, you cannot see the batch number and all that, it might have faded. All that we are saying, go to the store that sells the product, even if you have not bought it from that store, any store that is nearer to you, and take the product for them actually to ascertain that it is that batch and it is that product of L'Oreal, so that they can take it and refund you. So really the responsibility in this case, it's on the supplier to ensure that they make good to the consumer.
To close off with Deputy Commissioner, I'm keen to understand, will there be any, legal action against the supplier? Or is that part of the role and function of the National Consumer Commission at all?
When we engage with a supplier in terms of a product recall, we expect that they should have a recall strategy. Mm-hmm. We will look at it from our side in terms of what are the risks that have been identified. Agile were they in making sure that they inform us and the consumers so that we mitigate the risk. The proof here is actually to make sure that the supplier has taken every precautionary step to ensure that after the test or periodic test, they inform and they recall. We will, in terms of one of our sections, in terms of section 60 of the Consumer Protection Act, the responsibility is on both the on the manufacturer, I would say on three persons. It's the manufacturer, the distributor, and the retailer. They are all equally responsible for ensuring that if there is a product recall, then everybody in the value chain becomes responsible. So, and then from our side as the commission, when we check the strategy, we would be looking at the time that they took to inform us. And then if we feel that there is some information that we feel we want to follow through, we'll follow through in terms of provided the test, when did you know, what did you do? And then when we feel that there is negligent in terms of either maybe when there is a compulsory specification that is in place wherein there were supposed to be either minimum levels of certain ingredients and so on, yes, that have been exceeded, yes, or in this case there was harm to consumers and they did not actually either maybe keep the sample to let us know that they are testing regularly, in that case because they would have violated some of their obligations as either a manufacturer, then we will take steps. But in this case of L'Oreal, for now, we have not seen a reason for us to take any steps against them. But then if it happens that you as a consumer, you have suffered harm, let's assume that you have proof in terms of the causal effect that in this case, indeed, the product, you ended up with a skull infection and all that, a scalp infection and all that. And then the company is not willing, after you've provided adequate evidence of actually linking your harm to the product itself, then in that case, we'll make sure that they give you a recourse. And if they don't, it's where and we'll come in with the investigation to ensure that you as a consumer will get the adequate redress that you deserve.
100%. Deputy Commissioner, you've explained this eloquently, so thank you so much for giving us guidelines. I'm assuming we can look on your website for the barcodes or, I guess, batch numbers of these particular products that have been impacted, and many more South Africans can share their feedback. Thank you so much for your time this evening, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you a lot. Yes, the batch numbers are on our website. Thank you.
Fantastic. That's the Deputy Commissioner of the National Consumer Commission, Ms. Thezi Mabuza, giving us some insight on a product recall of Dark and Lovely anti-breakage relaxer kits. The concern is that the 50 milliliter single-use neutralizing shampoo, typically known as Step 2, to ensure that you get the relaxer out of your hair, it's been noted that there's a concern around a bacteria that's been detected in these single-use neutralizing shampoos. And as a result, L'Oreal, its affiliated manufacturers and retailers are recalling the product. If you have this product in your home, go back to your retailer. As you've heard, you don't necessarily need to show proof of the purchase, but of course it must fall within the dates of the time of manufacture. If you suffer any harm, you will have to show subsequent proof through the necessary channels at the National Consumer Commission.
You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.